Could there be a little momentum today?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The past few days, markets have sunk, and we were beginning to think that today would continue the trend. But we got a good earnings report from Family Dollar Stores, second quarter up 33%, and we're hearing a couple of behemoth home builders will be getting together. That's coming up. First, the numbers. Dow's up about 0.75%, 55 points at this hour at 7845. The NASDAQ up about 23, about 1.5%, and the S&P up about 1% as well. European shares are mixed, although the FTSE's flat or down, the others up, and Asian markets lost ground today. Pulte and Centex, not names you probably spoke of at breakfast, but surely a mouthful in the home building market. They announced today they're getting together in a $1.3 billion stock-for-stock deal. Of course, home builders are struggling to find their footing with a tight credit market and tightwad consumers not wanting to buy so big. So let's talk to Peter Morici, professor of economics at the University of Maryland. So, professor, this is a big deal in a slumped home building industry.
Well, exactly. Home building is not the greatest business in the world. We have a tremendous excess supply of unsold homes, and the home building industry is overexpanded, much like the automobile industry. During times of easy credit, new home builders popped up, older ones expanded. Their capacity, their ability to build homes is much beyond what the country will need for the next several years. Combining home builders is a lot like merging steel mills earlier in this decade. It reduces capacity and realigns supply with demand.
What did each of these home builders, you think, bring to one another?
Essentially, what they bring to one another is the ability to scale back. Home building is not a terribly complex business, and there's too much capacity. What they will be able to do is cut their overhead and essentially enjoy a little bit more ability to constrain supply in the market. It's important to recognize that home building is not like making steel or making cars. New builders can pop up all the time. Mom and pop operations can come into business quite quickly. If the combined entity of Pulte and Centex seek to constrain supply, new builders will come along.
So what does this do for the markets?
The market will respond positively to a combination of Centex and Pulte because it indicates the industry is rationalizing. However, often we get a one day of good news, then the market digests its true meaning and goes the other way. This does not change the fundamentals of either company. Too many houses, too few buyers, too much capacity, too much inventory, losses ahead.
All right, Peter Morici, University of Maryland economics professor, thanks.
Thank you.
Incidentally, we hear today from the Mortgage Bankers Association that applications rose last week. All right, let's get out the bailout list. Banks, check. GM and Chrysler, check. Now some life insurers are stepping in the help line. Many invested in those same toxic assets that got financials in trouble. The Wall Street Journal reports some relief is on the way. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Many life insurance companies invested in some of the same toxic mortgage assets that got banks into trouble. But until now, they've been cut off from federal help. Frank Keating's president of the American Council of Life Insurers.
The life insurance industry is systemic, is significant, is the largest purchaser of corporate bonds.
Life insurance lobbyists like Keating have been pushing to get some of the cash set aside for the banking bailout. Several big insurers even bought small savings and loans so they'd qualify for federal help. But that help wasn't forthcoming, at least until now.
To have us at the rail with the banks and the securities firms in terms of how all of these issues are being handled is an achievement and is a necessary achievement.
In the past few months, life insurance bellwethers have been hoarding their cash. Government aid would offer some relief, get those companies back into the bond market, and boost the entire economy. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Americans are drinking more California wine. The Wine Institute says sales were up 2% last year. And foreigners are also drinking a lot of wine from the Golden State. U.S. wine exports, most of which come from California, topped $1 billion for the first time ever.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, delivering people-ready enterprise solutions designed to help companies do more with less. Details at Microsoft.com/people-ready.
In these days of recession and fallout, it's quite tempting for pundits to compare what's going on today with economic downturns of the past, like, say, the one from the 1930s. Commentator Will Wilkinson thinks it's a matter of history and place.
Our current economic downturn has brought to life old debates about the Great Depression, what got us into it and what got us out of it. The role of the New Deal looms large. Did it deepen the Depression, as many economic historians now say? Or did it save capitalism from itself, like I learned in sixth grade social studies? Let me tell you, people get really heated about this question. But hold on. Is this debate really relevant to our current crisis? The U.S. of 80 years ago is a strange and faraway land. When the Great Depression hit, there was no Social Security, there was no unemployment insurance, and Jim Crow was in full effect. There was no such thing as a mortgage-backed security, a collateralized debt obligation, or a credit default swap. U.S. currency was backed by gold. Financial systems all over the world have undergone a series of deep changes since the 1930s. Trying to draw current policy lessons from the Great Depression is sort of like coming up with a new strategy for the war in Afghanistan by studying the Normandy invasion. Our pundits' obsession with the Depression and the New Deal represents an all-too-typical American exceptionalism, as if only our history really matters. But an apt comparison requires similar institutions, not the same flag. If we're going to fight over history, let's fight over the recent history of the 1990s Japanese and Swedish banking crises. Let's talk about the financial collapse of Argentina, from which it has only recently emerged. All those economies were more like America's is now than America's was way back when my grandpa was playing football in a sweater and a leather helmet. So what lessons should we draw from the rather more germane recent experiences of countries with similar economies? Truth is, I don't know. Maybe I should work harder to find out. And maybe American opinion makers should spend less time fighting over FDR's enduring legacy and more time learning from the rest of the world.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Check out more Fallout coverage, too. The Dow up about 0.5% at this hour in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.